My dearly beloved, we read in today's gospel of the wonderful catch of fish, but prior to that, of our Lord preaching and the people pressing around him so tightly that he decided to get into a boat and to pull away a little from the shore and then to teach the people as they were gathered right up on the shore of the lake. Symbolic ideas contained in this incident. The idea that our Lord preached from the bark of Peter. And the bark of Peter is a symbol of the Catholic Church. And so it conveys to us the idea of the authority of the Church and the right and duty of the Church to preach, to teach. But also, we note our Lord's occupation of preaching. And oftentimes we don't think much about that. When we think of our Lord's public life, we are inclined to think more often of the miracles that our Lord worked, the many wonderful miracles that he worked during the 3 years of his public life. However, let us not forget the fact that our Lord traveled up and down and back and forth and all around the area of Palestine, preaching the gospel. We read also of this, the importance of this idea of preaching the faith, in the Acts of the Apostles, the story of how the apostles would preach in Jerusalem, but also with this early Christian community that was daily growing, gradually growing in number, the apostles found themselves occupied with mundane tasks, such as distributing food to the needy. And there arose various dissensions, and so St. Peter said, "It is not fitting for us, apostles, to have to decide among yourselves various questions that arise. So we are no longer going to engage in this work of distributing to the needy the food. So we want you to choose 7 men and we will ordain them to be deacons. And they will take care of this work because," as St. Peter went on to say, "we ourselves should give of our time to preaching the word and to prayer." Interesting of what St. Peter said the role of the apostles was. Obviously to offer the Holy Mass, the sacraments, but also the importance of preaching and of prayer. So Holy Mother Church then has, and the priests and bishops of the church, this duty of teaching the Word of God, spreading the faith, expounding it. And yet, when we do so, priests are aware of the fact that there is nothing really new. No doubt those of you adults who have been Catholics throughout your lives, or at least for many years, you don't really hear anything new, usually, on a Sunday in the sermon. Oh, occasionally you might hear something you hadn't heard before of a little fact in the life of a saint, maybe an event in church history that you were not aware of that is brought out in a sermon, or maybe some example of from the Bible that you hadn't heard before or at least had forgotten, had been many years ago. But as far as the basic doctrines and the basic truths, they are all the same. And it is our effort to clothe them perhaps in a new garment, to make them more appealing. But it is still the same truths that we find ourselves preaching. And I suppose this is a sort of introduction to what I would like to cover this morning. And that is the topic that I find myself covering every year at this time of year, the end of the school year, the beginning of the summer. And that is the importance of avoiding occasions of sin and avoiding the fashions and styles of the world. The topic of modesty, of purity, and especially of living a good, solid spiritual life during the summertime. Of course, all of the time throughout the year, but we especially have to be on our guard during the summer because it is vacation time, and there is a tendency to relax a little bit, and what we must be very careful of avoiding, the tendency to cut back on our prayers, to relax or become complacent in our spiritual life. We must never forget that the devil never ceases to tempt. The devil never takes a vacation. And we talked about this last Sunday. We had that epistle of St. Peter, in which he speaks of our Lord, rather he speaks of the devil as a roaring lion, going about seeking whom he may devour. And St. Peter tells us that the devil never sleeps, but constantly is on the prowl to bring us down. But the devil is not our only enemy. We also have the world. That would be the spirit of the world that surrounds us, that is so antithetical to Christianity, which is why our Lord said that the devil is the prince of this world. And our Lord said also, my kingdom is not of this world. Because in the world, there is that spirit which is opposed to the spirit of Christ, the spirit of vanity, of pride, of sensuality, and so forth. So our enemies then are the devil, by which we mean not only Lucifer, but all of the fallen angels with him, all of the devils, who would love nothing more than to cause us to sin, to cause us to lose our immortal souls. And we must never forget that we have enemies that hate us and are seeking day and night to cause us to fall and would like nothing more than for us to lose our souls. So we have all the legions of hell, the devils. We have the world, which is certainly an enemy, that spirit of the world. But we also have, as an enemy, our own human nature, because our human nature is in a fallen state, created by God in what we refer to as the preternatural state. Through original sin, our nature has been wounded. And we have inclinations, we have passions that strongly tend to sin. So we have a strong inclination to sin, and theologians refer to that as concupiscence. And this concupiscence is with us throughout our lives, and wherever we go, we cannot escape it. And so what is the solution then to saving our souls, to living a good spiritual life with these enemies that surround us and these dangers? I would say really two things in particular that we must do. Number one, to avoid dangers insofar as it is possible. And number two, to live a good, strong, solid spiritual life, to maintain our spiritual health. It's just like during the flu season, during a time of epidemic, what do you do to stay well? You do two things. You try to stay away from germs, from maybe if someone is ill, they are told to wash their hands, to cover their mouth when they cough or sneeze so as not to spread their germs. And so we try and stay away from the possibility of contracting a particular illness. But the other thing that we do is try to keep ourselves, or the thing we should do, keep ourselves in good health, proper nutrition, exercise, vitamins, so forth, so that we are strong enough, because we imbibe germs all the time. They're in the air around us. And it is when we are in a weakened state that we likely succumb. And so really, those are the two things we need to do in our spiritual life. So let's talk about them briefly. First of all, avoiding danger. We must avoid the occasions of sin insofar as it is humanly possible. Now, we can't always avoid occasions of sin. You may find that your place of employment may be, from time to time, a source of temptation. Simply the world around us. But there are occasions of sin that we can avoid. The devil seeks to insinuate himself and his temptations through the various media. And we may needlessly and foolishly expose ourselves to an unnecessary occasion of sin. So what is an occasion of sin? Any person, place, or thing that leads us into sin, or that serves as a temptation, an incitement to sin. We classify occasions of sin into those which are near occasions, which means they strongly tempt us and we are in danger of falling into serious sin. That would be a near occasion of sin, and a remote occasion, which is some temptation, but not a strong temptation to us. What may be a near occasion of sin for one person could be a remote occasion of sin for another. We also categorize temptations into those which are necessary, or rather occasions of sin, into those which are necessary and those which are unnecessary. Someone may find it a necessary occasion of sin to go shopping, to go out in the world, to go here or there. But it's a necessary thing to do. It's necessary for us to take care of our daily needs. But what we must above all avoid are the occasions of sin which are near occasions and unnecessary. Those we must avoid. In fact, it would be a sin, and it could be even a grievous sin, to place yourself in an unnecessary near occasion of sin. And so we must avoid the occasions of sin insofar as we can. And that doesn't mean whether it be through television, reading material, movies, the internet, whatever it is, to avoid the occasion of sin. And to not allow unnecessary occasions of sin in your home, which may be a source of downfall to your family, to your children. Also, as I mentioned, we must have a strong spiritual life. But I would like to come back to that a little later and give you a quotation of Pope Pius XII, and this is on modesty and purity, but he also goes into the idea of occasions of sin. Are we mistaken? And by the way, this is from 1947, so think nearly 60 years ago. And Pope Pius XII gave many addresses referring to this problem of our age, of immodest styles, various occasions of sin, and the importance of avoiding them and not falling into sin. So this is what the Pope said again in 1947. Are we mistaken if we say that hardly any other period in history has been so defective as the present day in refusing to give woman her due position? For this reason, there comes to our lips the cry of our divine Savior, woe to the world because of scandals. Woe to them that knowingly and willingly corrupt the novel, the newspaper, magazines, theaters, films, and fashions. Woe to those careless youths who by one frivolous, albeit small, wound convey mortal infection into a virgin heart. Woe to those fathers and mothers who, exercising no strength or prudence, yield to the caprices of their sons and daughters and give up that parental authority which should shine on the brow of man and woman like the reflection of divine authority. Woe to so many who are Christian only in name and pretense. Let them look up and see that there are hosts of righteous people pressing around, ready to fight against scandal in every way. The justice of God weighs heavily upon those who are guilty of corrupting, either by willing act or by indifference. And this particular book here is filled with quotes, over 100 quotes of Pope Pius XII on these different topics of purity, of modesty, of avoiding occasions of sin. So important is this topic for us in our day. And maybe we don't even preach about it enough. But let us briefly speak about modesty, which is such an important topic also. And modesty, let us not forget, is not merely a type of clothing or a cut of clothing, a particular type of styles of dress. So often people misunderstand what modesty is. Modesty is a virtue, and all virtue is internal. It starts from within. You could have an individual wearing something that is perfectly decent, but doing so in an immodest way. That would be very possible. So it starts from within. Modesty means an imitation of our Blessed Mother, of her love for purity, her humility, her unwillingness to be the center of attention, her modesty and humility. So an imitation of our Blessed Mother. And yes, it also applies, and very importantly, to dress and how we dress. And in this regard, I would like to give you a very simple rule of thumb that is the best I ever heard. And it was from Bishop McKenna in a sermon some years ago, probably about 20 years ago, when he was at the Mount, I think, for an ordination. And he said this. He said, modesty is really very simple. Ask yourself at any time what you're wearing, where you're at. Ask yourself this. If our Blessed Mother were to appear in front of me right now, would I be ashamed? Would I be ashamed of how I'm dressed, what activity I'm engaging in, where I'm at? Would I have any reason to be embarrassed, to be ashamed? If so, then I should change what I'm doing or how I'm dressed or where I'm at accordingly. That's a wonderful rule of thumb to follow. Because really, when you think about it, we're always in the presence of God wherever we are. Let us then strive always to be pleasing to God and to our Blessed Mother. And finally, as I mentioned, I wanted to conclude on the important note of having a strong spiritual life. We could avoid occasions of sin very conscientiously and still fall into sin because we have within us this concupiscence. And so, while avoiding unnecessary dangers is important, even more important is the building up of our spiritual health, our spiritual well-being. Through a good daily prayer life, through mortification and self-denial, spiritual reading, and above all, frequent reception and devout reception of the sacraments. As often as you can, confession, Holy Communion, with good preparation, with devotion. This is what strengthens us. Also, making use of the sacramentals, holy water, blessed objects, the scapular, medals, etc. So, developing a strong devotion to our Blessed Mother, to the saints, maybe a particular saint that was known for purity, for modesty, for virtue. This is so important. We cannot maintain a good spiritual life without a good prayer life, without the sacraments, without strengthening ourselves with the spiritual means that God has given us. But by making use of these means, we will always have the grace to persevere. As St. Paul tells us, God never allows us to be tempted beyond our strength, but He will give us the grace we need if we turn to Him in prayer and we make use of the means that God has given us. Let us resolve to have a good summer, to enjoy our summer, but also and especially to make it a spiritually rewarding summer by not cutting corners on our spiritual life, by staying away from unnecessary danger, and especially by always living and acting in such a manner that we should have nothing to be ashamed of if our Blessed Mother were to stand before us and to behold us at that moment. If you remember that, that will be a good means to help you persevere in virtue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.